Good morning to each one. I do greet you in the precious name of Jesus. It's good to see each one of you here today. For a message, I invite you to Matthew chapter 5. Today we will continue in our study on the Sermon on the Mount. Today we will be looking at verses 33 through 37. And we are in the middle of a section where Jesus is revealing the true meaning behind various parts of the Old Testament law. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 20, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." In other words, in order to enter heaven, you must have a righteousness that exceeds the Pharisees and teachers of the law. And so that's what we're keeping in mind as we look at this middle section of verses. Again, in this section of verses, Jesus shows us what this surpassing righteousness looks like. And so far, we have looked at anger, we've looked at lust, divorce. Today, we will be looking at truth-telling and taking oaths. So let's read Matthew 5, 33 through 37 at this time. "Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not fare falsely.'" Let me start over. "Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one." Jesus is talking here about the importance of honesty and integrity in all that we say and do. In our world, talk is cheap. And currently, we're hearing a lot of talk, and talk is cheap. And so as followers of Jesus, we need to make sure that our words correspond with our actions, and that our actions correspond with our words. In other words, speaking the truth about what you have done, what you are doing, and doing what you say you're going to do. Jesus is particularly talking about swearing and taking oaths in this passage, but I believe his words apply to the vows that we make and also the promises that we make. Now, vows and oaths are very similar. And we could spend a lot of time talking about how they're the same and about how they're slightly different. But an oath specifically means bringing God into the equation. When a man takes an oath, he is calling on God as his witness that he is telling the truth. He is calling on God as his judge, should he be lying or he should break his word. The most common way people take oaths today is when they say things like, "I swear to God," in order to give weight to their words. But we know in our culture, swearing adds little weight to people's words. In fact, swearing often disqualifies instead of qualifies. In my study, I read that the King James Bible uses the words swear, vow, or oath 244 times in 192 verses. And I must say that I only understand in part the importance of swearing oaths and vows as we find it in the Bible times. But one thing I do know for sure, that in the Old Testament, they did a lot of swearing. And they did a lot of taking of oaths and vows. And as I studied this message, I began to realize that this swearing and oaths and vows in the Old Testament was a big part of their worship. But we don't see that in the New Testament. So let's look at what Jesus had to say here in Matthew 5, 33 through 37. We will break this section of verses down into 3 points. And first, we will consider verse 33, keeping promises. Second, we will look at verses 34 through 36, swear not at all. And verse 37 will be our third point, and that is keeping it simple. So let's begin with keeping promises. In verse 33, Jesus said, "Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord.'" You have heard that it was said of those of old. Well, what did the Old Testament say? Let me read you several verses. Leviticus 19:12 says, "And you shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." The third commandment in Exodus 20, verse 7 says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." Numbers 30, verse 2, "If a man makes a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by some agreement, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth." And so the Old Testament took swearing and oath-taking seriously, especially to swear or take an oath with God's name attached. In Judges chapter 11, we have that story of Jephthah. And Jephthah, he foolishly made a vow without understanding the possible consequences. And before leading the Israelites into battle against the Ammonites, Jephthah, described as a mighty man of valor, made a rash vow that he would give to the Lord whoever first came out of doors to meet him if he returned home as the victor. And we know how that story went. The Lord did grant him victory, and the one who came out to meet him was his daughter. Jephthah remembered his vow and offered her to the Lord. And you know, this story has always seemed foolish to me, seemed like a foolish thing to do. But when a man makes a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by some agreement, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. And so Jephthah, he offered his daughter to the Lord. I don't know what the consequences would have been if he would have chose not to do that, but I'm sure it would have been great. But back to verse 33. There was nothing wrong with the Old Testament teaching in and of itself. Jesus upheld the authority of the Old Testament. Jesus said in Matthew 5:17, "Do not think I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." And so the problem that Jesus is addressing here is the same problem with anger and lust. The Pharisees were reinterpreting the law to find a way out. And so the problem that Jesus is addressing is not the Old Testament command, but with the Pharisees' legal loopholes and the manipulation of oaths to get away with deception. And so this is what I've learned, that the Pharisees taught the people, "Do not break your oath, keep the oaths you made to the Lord." Okay, to the Lord. And they focused on the phrase "to the Lord." In other words, they found a supposed loophole. Sure, you had to keep the oaths that you made to the Lord, but you didn't have to keep the oaths you made to each other, you see. And so people being people in their personal dealings with one another, they would make it sound like they were making an oath to the Lord when in their minds they really weren't. And so it became a game to them. How can I trick you into thinking I'm telling the truth when I'm really not? So that brings us now to our second point, and that is swear not at all. Let's look now at verses 34 through 36. Now here in these verses, Jesus gives us real life examples of how they played this trickery game. But first, notice, Jesus clearly gives his own response to this manipulation of the truth. Notice what he says, verse 34a, "But I say to you, do not swear at all." Now, even though the Old Testament allowed for oaths and commanded to keep them, Jesus said, "But I say to you, do not swear at all." Now, why would it now be better to not swear at all? I mean, after all that teaching we have in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, why would it now be better not to swear at all? Well, one reason for this is because the swearing of oaths actually weakened the truth. Now that may sound strange because oaths are meant to strengthen the truth. Isn't that right? Isn't that the purpose of an oath, to strengthen the truth? But actually end up weakening it instead. Think about it. The only reason oaths exist is because lies exist. If everyone always told the truth, there would be no need for oaths. In other words, the Old Testament condemned the lie by the use of the oath. But Jesus now destroys the lie by forbidding oaths altogether. You see, the oaths must go since it is a protection for the lie. The second reason why it would be better to not swear at all is because God is always witness to what you say. Notice verses 34 through 36 again. "But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black." Jesus speaks directly to the Pharisees' little game of manipulation and exposes some of the real-life ways that the Pharisees tried to manipulate their oaths. Instead of swearing by God's name, they would say something like, "I swear to heaven that I'm telling you the truth." Or, "I swear by heaven and earth that bass weighed 10 pounds. Or, "I swear by Jerusalem to have your doors installed by October 15. Or, "I swear by my head that I will pay you next week." Now, that swearing may sound good and even religious, but you'll notice none of the oaths mention God's name directly. And that was the point. That was the point. The Pharisees taught that you only had to keep the oaths that you made to the Lord. And so by swearing by things that are related to God without actually mentioning God, you could make the other person think that you were serious and still get away with breaking your word. Jesus said, no, it doesn't work like that. You think you can swear by heaven and get away with it? It won't work, because heaven is God's throne. Or you think you can swear by the earth? that won't work either, because the earth is God's footstool. You think you can swear by Jerusalem and get away with it? Jerusalem is God's city. And then what about the people who swore by their head? To swear by your head meant to swear by your life. Jesus said, you can't swear by your head because you have no control over your head. You cannot even make one hair black or white. Oh, sure, people will dye their hair, but it doesn't change the fact that you are growing older. And I find it interesting, why did Jesus bring up the aging process in this argument? I believe it simply is because you do not have control over your life, whether you live or die. That's God's territory. So what is Jesus saying in these verses? Jesus is saying, you cannot escape God in your words. You cannot remove God from the equation. The Pharisees were trying to game the system by making it seem like they were making an oath in God's name when they really weren't. Jesus says, God is always witness to what you say, whether you call on him as witness or not. Therefore, Jesus says, don't swear at all. Don't swear at all. First, because those actually weaken the truth. And second, God is always witness to what you say. So let's move on to our third point, and that is keeping it simple. Jesus ends this section by telling us that we must keep our speech simple. Look at verse 37 again. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. What is Jesus saying here? First, he is saying that your yes or no should be sufficient. If you need to add something to your words to make them more credible, it throws doubt on all your other words. In other words, there can be no double standards when it comes to the truth. No oaths are necessary when you always tell the truth. Think about it. Think about this. If other people in your life have to ask you, do you promise? Do you promise? Will you promise not to tell? You know, if people have to do that to you, that shows that maybe you haven't been faithful to your words in the past. You know, after you've lived on this earth a while, you kind of figure out who's safe to tell what. And I believe you know what I mean. So let your yes be yes and your no, no. If you're going to do something, do it. If you say you're not going to do something, then don't do it. Be a person of your word. If you're a person of integrity, then your yes or no should be sufficient. And then notice how Jesus concludes verse 37. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. We know that Satan is the father of lies. Jesus said in John 8:44, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Satan is the father of lies, but Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And when we speak the truth, we follow Jesus. But when we lie or deceive, we follow Satan. Keep it simple. Just say yes or no, and then stick with it. Be a person of such integrity that no one will ever doubt your simple word. So this study brings up the question, are public oaths forbidden by Scripture? What about a public oath? Or what about a vow? You know, there are certain oaths or vows that we make today. We have marriage vows, ordination vows, baptism and church membership vows. And then we have the signing of contracts and sworn testimony in court. Does Jesus' words, "Do not swear at all," apply in these situations? And this could be considered in several ways, and I'll share with you this morning where I come out on this. I would believe God is pleased with the vows we exchange in marriage, baptism, and church membership, ordination vows, etc. You know, these are important times. These are important events, and vows to go along with those events, I believe, are good and right, and I believe God is pleased with them. And I would also believe public oaths and signing of contracts are not forbidden by God. You know, it's unfortunate, but in a world of lies, public oaths are often required to better ensure that the truth is being told. But unfortunately, people still lie under oath. And the purpose of a contract is to hold folks accountable to follow through with what they have promised. And you know, some folks, even if there's a contract signed, will not follow through. In public oaths and signing of contracts, if it is within one's power, we would believe to testify or declare by affirmation in place of swearing would be honoring Jesus' words to swear not at all. The court will recognize affirming along with swearing. And so if we're allowed to do that, if we're given that privilege, I think an affirmation is a good way to go. And we often go to James 5, verse 12, but above all, my brethren, do not swear, neither by heaven or by earth or with any other oath. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. We have Jesus' example under oath in Matthew chapter 26, 63 and 64. But Jesus kept silent. This is verse 63. And the high priest answered and said to him, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are Christ, the Son of God. Verse 64, Jesus said to him, it is as you said. Jesus prohibited the use of misleading oaths, but he did not intend to prohibit all use of oaths. And so I don't believe it's necessarily wrong to take a public oath in a situation that requires it. Yes, affirmation in place of swearing if possible. But for the reasons we have considered this morning, we should eliminate oaths from our personal everyday speech. It simply is not necessary. And someone said it like this, when Christ said, swear not at all, he was laying down the principle that the Christian should not have two standards of truth, but that his ordinary speech must be as sacred true as his oath. In the kingdom of God, where that principle holds sway, oaths become unnecessary. As Anabaptist people, we have taught against all forms of swearing in speech, in contracts, and even formal occasions. But I want to say today, not all Christians have had this teaching. You know, my grandma was a dear woman, a dear Christian woman, and I never doubted her salvation. But she used words that I was not allowed to use, and probably no one else should either. But those words were a part of her life and a part of growing up. And the way she viewed those words is different than how some of us would view those words, just simply because of how we were brought up. And you know, even the Apostle Paul, who we love and appreciate, he used language in his letters that we probably would not use, and we would probably say is unnecessary. And let me point out three places where Paul speaks out. In Romans 1, verse 9, he says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." 2 Corinthians 1:23, "Moreover, I call God as witness against my soul, that to spare you, I came no more to Corinth." Galatians 1:20, "Now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed, before God, I do not lie." And I bring this out to remind us to simply be kind and forbearing to the grandmas and the Apostle Pauls and the folks that join us along the way. You know, we have not all started out at the same place. And so let's be kind and let's be gracious with this thing of swearing. So what do we take away from Jesus' words this morning? I'd like to conclude this message with three applications. We're not quite done yet, but we're wrapping it up. But I have three applications, three things I'd like for you to take home with, and I'd like for you all to turn with me to these scriptures. So application number one is to be truthful in your speech. Turn to Proverbs 12, 22, verse 22. Proverbs 12, verse 22 says, "Lying lips are in an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truly are his delight." What does this verse mean? I would believe it would mean no lying, no exaggerating, no distorting or shading the truth. Speaking the truth is absolutely necessary for trust, and speaking the truth brings great freedom to your life. It's been said, and I quote, "If I speak what is false, I must answer for it. If I speak what is truth, the truth will answer for me." Remember that. Number two, be careful what you promise. Pay what you have vowed. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. I'd like to read 1 through 7. Be careful what you promise. Pay what you have vowed. Maybe we would say, pay what you have promised. Walk prudently. Ecclesiastes 5:1. Walk prudently when you go to the house of God, and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven, and you on earth, therefore let your words be few. For a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin. nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the work of your hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there is also vanity. But fear God. Be careful what you promise. Be careful what you commit to. Leave yourself some space in your promises. And you know, some of the biggest frustrations that come in business is when you overpromise. And I just have to learn that time and time again. Add a few days, you know, we'll try to get that taken care of for you next week. Don't say tomorrow if you know it's going to take a miracle for it to happen tomorrow. Train yourself to put some space in your life. We could go on about that for a while, but let's see, where was I? Be careful what you promise. Pay what you have vowed. If you say you can do it for X amount, do it for that. Even if you forgot to add that third garage door, all that hurts. Number three. And that's a true story. Be faithful in following through. Psalms chapter 15. Psalms 15. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Or who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put out money to usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. Speak the truth from your heart. And once you have given your word, be faithful in following through, even when it hurts. Did you say yes? Then make sure you follow through with yes. Did you say no? Then make sure you follow through with no. That's what it means to let your yes be yes and your no, no. And so, dear people, I encourage you to be people of truth, people of honor, and people of integrity. God will bless you for it. We'll call for some.